It's always a pleasure to have our next guest on the program. You know, we could talk for a half hour about last night's debate alone, and maybe we will. Our tech attorney, Rich Honan, pays us a pre-election day visit with some thoughts on the presidential election, the candidates, their views, and ultimately what is making an impact in the business world. Rich Honan is with Phillips Lytle LLP. He is partner in charge of the Albany office, and it's always a great pleasure to welcome Rich Honan to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us.
Always a pleasure to be here.
Always a pleasure to have you here, make your monthly visits, and we always enjoy that. Let us talk a little bit about the debate last night as a jumping off point, because you come in and we talk about different aspects of the business world. The of course, the economy is a major issue in this campaign. Job creation is a major issue in this campaign. And as a result of that, was a major issue in the debate last night. What did you hear that you think would have either a positive or negative effect on the business community?
Well, I think the negative effect on the business community is to the extent that the business community, if you buy into the idea that the business community traditionally is more favoring Romney than Obama. If you buy into that, I don't think that the business community could be that could be that pleased with the level of discourse we saw yesterday.
Yeah.
What I was thinking was, you know, we all in the business world have sat in board meetings, in kind of closed meetings where people are encouraged to speak very, very candidly. And that level of discourse is something that, if that was going on in a board meeting, somebody would stand up and say, you guys have got to act like adults, and
right.
We really have to get to it. So I don't think, as a business person, I didn't look at it and have a lot of confidence that either one of these guys was really kind of the guy I wanted to look to as a leader based on that. You know, based on that kind of very short segment.
And obviously there's the elephant in the room, which is the last debate, and one guy trying to repeat a good performance and another guy trying to make up for what was widely perceived as a bad performance.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was just from a debating standpoint, I was surprised that Romney didn't seem more prepared that was what Obama was going to do. And knowing that he just didn't handle it in a more leader-like way. I personally, you know, if I'm running a staff meeting, or if I'm even in a meeting with say equals with other partners of the firm, I wouldn't run it that way. If you want to get off on tangents, go ahead. But if I'm Romney, or if I'm any kind of business leader, I'm saying, look, the issue is, whatever, pull out your numbers, 23 million people out of work, 7.8% unemployment, you know, 7 million new people under the poverty line, whatever statistics you want to, you know, and that's the issue. Let's stay on point. I also, by the way, and I'm sure everybody has said this, and I, like most parents, I hope like most parents, I made my kids watch at least a
right.
portion of the debate, and after 45 minutes, they said, Dad, can we please turn this off? And as a parent, I said, I don't know how I can make them watch this.
But, I don't want to be cruel to them.
But I you know, what they both said was, nobody answers the questions.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I think all of us came away with that, right? I mean, not one of those people who those kind of cool, real people who are there with their hands trembling and asking the questions, not one of them got an answer. That's troubling.
You know, it is troubling, and a lot of people were saying, why on this question about guns is he talking about, you know, whatever, you know? And it was just interesting because you're absolutely right. It was all over the place, and they would take the opportunity to answer previous questions and so forth, and it just rambled all over. And unfortunately, this is as good as we get as far as debates go. We have three of these, and they all have different formats, but they're basically the same. You have a very limited amount of time to ask very serious questions about serious issues. When you look at it as far as, again, the economy being the main issue, jobs being the main issue, there was a lot about
sure.
The president talking about job creation and manufacturing jobs, Governor Romney hitting the president very hard on the past 4 years and the amount of jobs created, and that people are struggling, and Governor Romney told the story of people coming up and holding his arm and saying, you know, but what about my job? And it's you know, they're very effective stories. But meanwhile, you wonder, like, where are we in the economy? The stock market is doing well. We don't hear a lot about that.
It depends. You know, I certainly hear a lot about it, you know, in the world in which I live and in the world in which I move. I will tell you that it's
But yes. Does that have anything to do with the presidential contest? I mean, does that have anything to do with leadership? Does that have anything to do with the administration?
Well, you would think it would. But, you know, this administration early on when, you know, you and I have talked about this, you know, when from the time he made his inauguration speech and we were watching the Dow, you know, down. This administration has made it very clear that they've disassociated themselves from the stock market, and they're not going to have their popularity or their policies measured by the stock market, which made a lot of sense when the stock market was down 6,000 points. Now that it's back up, you kind of think they would like to take some credit for that, but
so
they're kind of boxed out.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but this is very different than in 1996 when you're Bill Clinton and you're saying, look at the stock market, look, everybody's making money, aren't you happy?
It is different, but the other thing that's different and is that the stock market, we now realize, has become very much disassociated from the general economy. So to your point, when Bill Clinton was talking about the stock market, that was a direct result of our economy, right? We had the tech boom, which we now know was a tech bubble, but there was a tech boom. Remember, how many times did Clinton say the greatest peacetime expansion or the longest peacetime expansion in the history of the country? But the stock market was a direct response to what was going on in the economy. What we have, and so you can understand why a president would say, economy's good, therefore stock market is good, therefore I did well. But we have seen a direct disassociation, a disconnect between the United States economy, the world economy, and the American stock market. Unemployment, you could argue about it, but unemployment really hasn't gotten much better in 4 years. Yet the stock market has done quite well. So unemployment is down, manufacturing is getting a little better, but by any objective measure, you don't see the kind of growth, robust 2.83% growth or whatever you want to see. But the stock market goes on. So it's hard to take it's hard to make the association between the economy and the stock market because the stock market is kind of on its own. And so the question is, why is that? Why is it doing well?
Absolutely. And with that said, what is the disassociation with the rest of the world? I mean, we're not in this alone. The rest of the world is struggling economically. The rest of the world is struggling with jobs. The rest of the world is struggling with many of the issues that we're struggling with.
And worse than us in many cases.
Absolutely. So why don't we say, look, we're all in this together. This is a result. If you are President Obama, why don't you say, look, yes, we are the United States of America, but we also are in a global situation. And if you're Mitt Romney saying this is what we're going to do to work with other nations and to work on this problem globally.
Well, I think I'm sure we'd like to see either one of them say that. But I think that to your point, the theory of, why is it if Obama is supposed to be bad for business, why is the stock market doing well when the economy is not doing well? There's a couple of things you can't argue. You can't argue the market's doing pretty well, and you can't argue that the economy isn't doing great, right? And I think the prevailing theories, to the extent there are any, have gained traction is, on one hand, if you're a person who likes President Obama, you say, the reason that companies are doing well is that he's been stymied in his agenda by those bad Republicans, and therefore business is kind of breathing a sigh of relief and is not worried about, he can't get done the things he wants to get done. If you're a detractor of Obama, you say businesses have come to the conclusion that, we've seen this before. This is more of the same. Okay, that all we need to do is spend some lobbying money, and all we need to do is deal with the regulatory people and the lobbyists, and this is business as usual, and we can handle this. So you kind of see that the effect of who's in the White House doesn't have a lot to do with the stock market. The other part that you see obviously is businesses jumped into the recession or reacted to the recession a lot faster than anybody else could. I mean, it's no matter how big your business is, it's really easy to one day make a decision. Look, we're going to lay off 16,000 employees out of 160. You can do that from one day to the next. You know, governments can't do that. They have different agendas, different constituencies. They can't do things that quickly. Businesses are really in a better position to deal with adverse things. And so, you know, they laid off a lot of people. They're stockpiling tons of money. You know, they've gotten more efficient and they've done all the things that they can do, and they don't have to worry about the effects of that on the world or on the economy in general. It's not their job. And so businesses arguably are a lot stronger than they were 3 years ago. But the reason they're stronger is because they're doing more with less people.
They're doing more with less people, and which I think is a whole other issue of just how long can that go on before the people snap. You know, that you burn through your workforce. I think you see that on a micro level. I think you see it on a macro level. But I mean, that's a different issue for a different day. But also is the point that I think you look at both men on the stage last night, one more than the other, talking about their plan, and you just wonder of, okay, well, look. It's hard not to be cynical and say, well, you know, can anybody do something?
Yeah.
I mean, how much of it is on us, how much of it is right. on them, and how much of it is us collectively working together? And is any plan going to, I don't care if it's 1 point, 5 points, 8 points, you know, what is it going to do?
Yeah. I hear that. That's the one thing I hear. You know, there's really more unity in this country than we think, because you could ask the furthest right person and the furthest left person the same question. You know, do you think the country's in good shape? And they would all say no.
Right.
And do you think the country can be doing better? And they would all say yes. And that's really kind of a very hopeful sign, right? That no matter where you are on the spectrum, you believe the country has more potential.
Yeah, but how do we get there?
Well, I think the way we get there is by having a plan, whatever the plan is. And sticking to the plan, we really haven't had much of a plan, you know, in my opinion, over the last 4 years. If we'd gone through a bad economy over the last 4 years, but we had, you know, shaved X percent off of our debt, or we had made some inroads on something, or we could point to some benchmarks that say, you know, we're coming close to turning around, I think that would help. But I think that I kind of disagree with everybody. I think the person at the top still has...
I disagree with everybody.
Because everybody says, what could the president do? And I say, the president... can do more than anybody. The president could say, this is the plan. We're going to try and stick to the plan. The president could say, we're not going to make war on business. We're not going to make war on the rich. We're not going to make war on the poor. You know, we have enough people wanting to make war on us. Let's not seek out more of that. I think the president can set a tone, just like any leader sets a tone. And that's why, by the way, I have a problem when people say, well, tell me all the things in the tax code you're going to change. We're going to sit and talk about 5,000 pages of tax code. I think that while the Republicans should be offering more specificity, I think what a leader is supposed to do is say, this is where I want to get to. You know, you and I remember John F. Kennedy saying we're going to get to the moon by the time the decade is out. He didn't tell him how to do it. He just said, we're here. The moon's there. Let's get there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think the president can still make a great deal of difference.
You
and
know,
fix things.
I agree with you. I agree with you up to a point also. I think we do like to hear, look, if we're not going to hear specificity,
yep.
Thank you.
Nice.
Thank you.
That's why you're a professional.
Yeah. if we don't hear that, in a debate, then when are we going to hear it? You know, if you don't have it ready for then, of even in the soundbite of saying, look, okay, this is the plan and this is what I'm going to do, and not have some specifics so that the average American and the Long Islander who is in that room last night who's asking the questions, then when are you going
to
have it?
Well, Joe, but I would say everybody who's trying to avoid specificity is taking a page is taking a page out of the 2008 campaign book, when the overall plan was hope and change, and when you asked for more specificity, the answer was sure. Change you can believe in, and so I think a lot of people, a lot of political kind of the folks who do these campaigns said, well, you know, if he can get away with that, we should be able to get away with, you know, a 4-point plan and not tell anybody what the points are. I agree that there has to be some, but I still think you have to say, this is my vision for the country, and you have to show how that can be done.
So let me ask you this question. Governor Romney made this point several times during the debate last night. He's made this point many times during the campaign and throughout his many runs for various offices. And that is, look, I came in, I fixed the Olympics. I came in and I fixed business. I came in, I'm a business leader. I am somebody who knows I can come in and fix this. So, yes, he has a political background. He was the governor of Massachusetts.
Right.
But the question remains, how good, in a very general sense, is that enough of having that business background to be able to write an economy that is having issues?
Oh, that alone isn't enough. No, but I think the effect of having a business background, a leadership background, is not so much that you could run the United States the way you run a business, because you can't and should not do that, but you do have a better sense of kind of how to manage people around you, how to get people around you, when to listen to your staff and when to tell your staff, I'm not listening to you, when to delegate things, and also when to tell people, look, there's 5,000 things on our agenda, okay? I'm going to take 4,900 and however many off, and you're going to work on 3 things, and that's all you're going to do. And I do think that's something you learn as a leader. Because as a leader, even, you know, whether you're running a small radio station or a small law firm or whatever it is, people come to you with 100 things a day that to them are life and death. But to you, you say, you know what? We're not going to worry about that right now. We're going to worry about booking this guest at this time and getting this interview. And that's, you know, that's why I think, you know, you're a good leader. You should be president.
Thank you. And right back to you. When you look at but then you look at the president and you say, well, all right, well, you know, here's a guy who obviously has been doing this too. Yeah, I mean.
Really?
Well, I don't know. Isn't he like somebody's been running the country for 4 years?
Was that dead air? I'm sorry.
My point is you both come with skill sets. It is a bit of an apples and oranges comparison. Look, I came up in this environment, you came up in this environment, and this is the problem we have. Who is better to serve it at this point?
Yeah, I understand. I do think that I do think that some of the issues that the president faced, he might not have had to worry about as much if he was not basically a first-time manager. I mean, I was a first-time manager 20 years ago, and I made a ton of mistakes that I continue to make.
Right.
And some of them are the ones that you're seeing him and other folks who have not managed large organizations, you know, again, focusing on too many things and not focusing on the right things and listening to the wrong people. Anybody can do that. I'm sure Mitt Romney, look, I disagree with a lot of the decisions in his campaign, so he's obviously listening to somebody.
Well, that's what I was going to say to you. I mean, and what do we take from that? You know, if you can't lead the campaign and if you can't, and you're making, you know, dumb errors.
I hear this one all the time. If the guy can't run a campaign, how can he run a country?
Well, I don't know that that's fair.
But the converse has been, and let me be partisan, not that I ever am, but let me be partisan. You know, I would say.
I'll give you your email address in a minute. Go ahead.
You're right. There's certain people who ran great campaigns and then couldn't run the country. It's possible that maybe we could have somebody who can't run a good campaign but can run the country. What we have learned is that running a good campaign, for any office, not just president, running a good campaign seems to have very little to do with how you actually do the job. And so if people can run a good campaign and not run the country, maybe people could, you know, not run a great campaign and still either run the country or run their precinct or run whatever it is they're supposed to do.
And obviously we could go around on this a lot longer, but I think also to go into that discussion is who you have around you, who you're bringing into the room.
Subordinates, yes.
Absolutely. And who's there and who's with you,
right,
and what you've got going on. Rich Onan is a partner in Phillips Lytle LLP, where he is a partner in charge of the Albany office. And for more information on the firm, you can visit their website, phillipslytle.com. That's with 2 L's and L-Y-T-L-E. I mentioned that only because if you send mean mail to me about Rich, I just forward it to him. You can send it direct to him. www.phillipslytle.com. Not that that ever happens. Phillipslytle.com. Rich, you are very nice, and I thank you, as always, for coming in.
My pleasure. Thank you.
It's a pleasure. We'll see you in a month. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.